are busy enjoying your lunch, while you are busy having some time from 1300 hours, take time and listen to OTR News Bulletin.
On the Radio News Analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We ask why it's happening, how it affects ordinary Namibians, and what it means for the country's future. We examine the structures behind news, connect policy to people's lived realities, and bring in expert voices to make sense of where Namibia is heading.
You want to get into touch with global governance, global diplomacy, economic relation, trade, statistics, human and infrastructure development, and you want to see how policy planning and policy implementation is connected in Namibia. Make time and listen to OTR from 1300 hours to 1430.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to On the Radar News Bulletin with me, David Shombe. It's that time of the afternoon that we look at what is happening in the country in terms of economic affairs, and what is happening in the region of SADC, and indeed what is happening in the continent of Africa. And lastly, we look at global affairs. It's 4 minutes past the hour of one, and you are listening to On the Radar News Bulletin, the 13th of August 2026. Every day we are reminding you that we are moving toward the end of 2026, and it should be a reminder of those who have plans, those who have been planning to achieve what they wanted to achieve within the year, to say you still have time and you can still practically apply that strategy so that you can achieve that plan of yours. Today, on the Radar News Bulletin, we are going to look at key issues. We are starting with the government institution of pension funds has increased its disability benefit of its members by 5%. We also look at Communication Regulatory Authority, which has signed a memorandum of agreement with NAPU to provide 5% wage increase in the year 2026-2027 financial year. And the main conversation, we are going to be joined by our two guests. The first one will be Nita Ashivuthi Ipinge, who is a financial analyst, to interpret to us what the policy statement, what the monetary policy statement that was released yesterday by the Bank of Namibia. What does it mean? Where are we standing? And also, why domestic economic projection revised downward, and why are we always hitting below the target? We are also looking at project tracking and implementation. We are going to be joined by a project management practitioner, that is Rinekela Hamtuma, to give us context of what are some of the challenges and opportunity, especially in the field of project management. Then from there, we'll look at international foreign exchange rates, where is Namibian dollar standing compared to other currencies. Then we'll finalize with Zambia elections that is happening today, and to see who is going to take over the highest seat on the land of Zambia. So let's come back shortly and we continue the conversation.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ripura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kongerewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with On The Radar News Bulletin with me, David Shombe. And to look at what we have today, that the Government Institution of Pension Fund, that is GIPF, has increased the disability benefit of its members by 5%. Looking at that context, the fund indicated that the adjustment is based on the implementation of 5% increment in the salary of public sector employees, and is also looking at taking care of its members, particularly those who are not able to work and also financially being stable due to their disabilities. So let us listen to the communication, especially from Government Institution, Pension Fund, then you look at this context.
The increase will directly benefit 349 pensioners who currently receive disability income from the fund. The annual cost of disability income benefits is expected to increase from approximately 34.4 million to 36.1 million. The adjustment demonstrates the GIPF's ongoing commitment to ensuring that disability beneficiaries maintain a reasonable standard of living despite changing economic conditions.
Yeah, that is Catherine Sikeni, and from Communication Department of GIPF. Then on top of that, it's also indicated that NAPU, that is Namibia Public Workers Union and Communication Regulatory Authority, have entered into a memorandum of agreement to provide 5% wage increase for its employees in the year 2026-2027 financial year. Let us look at this, especially looking at communication from Crane.
The Communications Regulatory Authority of Namibia, CREN, and the Namibia Public Workers Union, NAPU, have signed a memorandum of agreement providing for a 5% wage increase for employees within the bargaining unit for the 2026-2027 financial year. The agreement follows successful wage negotiations concluded on 27 July 2026. Signed yesterday, 12 August 2026, the agreement reflects the long-standing and constructive labor relationship between CREN and NAPU, as well as their commitment to meaningful social dialogue and collective bargaining. Both parties reaffirm their commitment to employee well-being, productivity, organization sustainability, and harmonious labor relations.
Yeah, we are moving forward with On The Radar News Bulletin, and we'll come back shortly, particularly looking at monetary policy interpretation from Ms. Loise Ipinge. Stay tuned, we're coming back shortly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano hile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna emitota njuka okukwetera oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetera o special ange tashake ngejipa omarudi kayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamwiri nawa ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngejepa omarudi tayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumuna oijamwiri nawa ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with On The Radar News Bulletin. As I indicated, we are joined on the line by Ms. Loise Ashivwede Ipinge, who is a financial analyst, just to give us a context, especially looking at what has been communicated yesterday from Central Bank. That is a monetary policy statement, looking at the Namibia economic financial system. Where are we standing? And also to look at our financial projections and what is that is happening within the Namibian economy. Ms. Ipinge, good afternoon, and thank you for joining us at On The Radar News Bulletin.
Good afternoon, Dr. Shombe. It's a pleasure to be here. Always good to speak about Namibia and what we can do to move it forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's start with it. We have we are on the 8th month of 2026, we are looking at Namibia economic performance. Yesterday, the monetary policy statement was communicated by the Central Bank, where the governor indicated that when it comes to the repo rate, it remained at 6.75%. And one of the reasons which was given is to maintain the peg of Namibian dollar to the South African rand. Now, before we go to main questions, what is your observation reading through the policy statement, especially looking at where the Namibian economy is standing, and what hope do we have, especially looking at that statement, before we go to the main questions?
No, I mean, the main conclusion that one can make is that they are obviously trying to ensure that it's the repo rate is not going high, and they are also trying to keep our relationship with the Fed, with Africa, in good terms.
Mm.
I guess they balance both by ensuring that it doesn't move, because on our side we are trying to get the economy back up again from COVID, etc.
Mm.
And on the other side, we still have to maintain good peg relationship with Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that whole fight of getting the balance correct all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in general, that's basically what they communicated, and just a few things that have happened in terms of this weather stuff that are happening currently and some of the few market stuff that has been happening. But essentially, I suppose the story is the same. We can't really move the economy as quick as we want to. And we are trying to keep our relationships to the best of our abilities. That's how I would summarize it.
Yeah. Now, let us look at the targets. There are always projections to say this is what we expect. There is always this financial communication to say, no, we expect the economy to pick up, particularly in the year after any certain situation. However, when you reach that year, it's quite interesting to see that for the past 2 years, we have been hitting below the target in terms of our domestic economic growth. For you, why is it like that? Is it the situation, or we are not doing enough to expand what is happening in the country?
I think, honestly, as a Namibian, I believe we generally just don't want to do the hard work that's required to get us where we need. And I'm not talking only about the committee. I'm talking about ground level business activities, ground level investment and preparation. The reality is the committee doesn't have a lot to work with. If you look at the general market in terms of what we are exporting, what we are importing, our capability of being able to stand on our own. The reason why we have the PEG is because of the benefits that it builds, but it also means that we are always going to remain a child if we don't grow up. I mean, the benefits of a child being, let's say, for example, in a parent's house, there's safety, there's, you know, everything that you need. Yes, you can do a lot, right, while you're still living in your parent's house, but we all know that you are also limited. So if you really want freedom and you want to grow up, there are things you need to do. You need to go build your own house before you can move out. Otherwise, if you move out, where are you going? And that work needs to be done from the ground up.
Are the business activities not doing as they were supposed to do? Because there is always a communication again to say credit rating to the domestic businesses is subdued. Why is it like that?
Reality is that I think as far as loans are concerned, the credit market is also a bit messed up in Namibia because the education, the relevant education that we all need, the essential education that we all need in terms of how we conduct ourselves in the financial market, especially our relationship with credit agreements, we don't have it. There's a lack of education there. Most consumers, most business people, we are not handling our finances correctly, and that needs to change. The credit market itself, in terms of how it you know, deals with its customers and financing businesses and etc., also that needs to change. There's a whole lot of things that needs to change in those regards, so that we can actually, because small businesses obviously need to be empowered. They need to grow. And we also need to start producing our own things and importing things that are completely done. That is the work that needs to be done for us to be able to even realistically start thinking about unpegging ourselves.
While we are there, just to bring it in the conversation, there is something that I've been observing recently. I was following what Parliamentary Standing Committee on Public Accounts is doing, looking around the town council and all these things. Then you realize to say, maybe apart from private sector, do we also need to do something, especially to strengthen accountability, either it's a local authority or either it's a regional council level, because we see that officials are running away. Some are saying we need 30 minutes. Some are putting on sick leaves when parliament is visiting them. And it just made me ask a question to say, do you really need to blame the financial sector only? Do you really need to blame the private sector only? Or maybe we should also look at the side of you know, local authority and regional council to say, let us work with money properly as it is supposed to be done.
I think oversight and accountability is important in anything, right? And obviously, town councils, they have a really, really huge responsibility in terms of growing towns, in terms of availing land, in terms of servicing land. And that one has biggest problems in Namibia.
Mm.
You would see that there is just a lot of reckless involvement. The plots are given to, you know, certain people. They are not developing them with time.
Yeah.
And the things are becoming ridiculously expensive. There's a problem, that systematic problem that needs to be resolved.
Mm-hmm.
We are a small country, but still there's a lot of people that still don't have housing.
Mm.
There's a lot of structural issues, financial systematic issues, personal education finance issues that we all need to deal with, so that we can actually grow the country.
Mm-hmm.
I think if every Namibian citizen can come to that point and look at themselves in whatever capacity that they are working, whether you are working at town council or you are a consultant in a financial institution,
mm-hmm.
or you are an educator at a school to start teaching people about kids about finance, instead of teaching kids only about, you know, becoming a famous doctor or a famous whatnot, and forgetting that we don't even have food to eat, so there's no one who's giving us food, or just forgetting to teach a person how to run a business, because everyone who's coming out and graduating is looking for a job and no one is actually creating a job. So everyone in whatever capacity that they are working, we all have a role to play, and we should start being serious about it. Otherwise, we are not going to build this country.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we'll keep complaining and just complaining. And in reality, some of these things are not easy. Some of these things takes a lot of hard work. Some of these things take a lot of sacrifice.
Yeah.
Some of these things take a lot of, hope and faith that whatever little I'm doing would somehow combine with someone else and whatever, and then eventually to.
Just before we go to the last question, is training matters, because I also start realizing that some people, they did things, maybe some are corrupt, some they did things really because they have lack of training. They cannot read the financial statement. They can be misled very fast. Is the aspect of upskilling and training necessary, especially when you want to count every dollar, every penny that is being spent on public?
Yes, there is always corruption, evil, whatever.
Yeah.
But I believe, as much as there is that, there are also a lot of people that believe in this country and want to do good. So the only question, like what you're saying, how do we find ways to mitigate that?
Yeah.
Find ways to be able to ensure that a person who's at the position of analyzing and reading and confirming that this is the correct person to maybe finance, this is the correct company to do the work, etc., actually are empowered to do it. Mm. And that is the job. That is the job, to be able to identify between fraud and good. That is the job. And I do believe we have a lot of young people coming out of education.
Yeah.
They know the English.
Yeah.
They've been given the mathematics tools. Maybe it's just the training and the experience, because in reality, those kids are coming out, they have the raw kind of, you know, skills, but they need to get into the trenches of dealing with the social problems that comes with the jobs that they need to do. So maybe then, yes, we do have to do that, to take the time and teach the young generation. But I do believe we are in a good position to do that.
It's a very good thing that you stated that they need to come to the trenches of dealing with social development. Now the last part is this thing of we cannot move because we are historically connected to South Africa, economically, politically, and all these things. Now, is being pegged to a rent a challenge or an opportunity? And I want you to, at least maybe you give a comparison to a country such as Botswana. We are almost having almost the same economy, almost the same population, almost same social problems. We are in the same region. But Botswana did not peg their puller to South African rent. How do you look at that?
I think as far as historically concerned, I'm not really sure exactly if we are exactly the same in terms of historical content,
contextual.
Because, I mean, we were colonized West Africa, and most of the things that are here are South African.
Yeah.
And that's why I guess it was easier for us to be able to just do that.
Mm.
But I think in any, there are a lot of countries that have started with the pegging, you know, method, and they've been eventually able to, you know, unpeg and then on their own, right? Whether now Botswana started without pegging at all, but there are other countries in the world, like, you know, Israel and other countries that have been able to unpeg successfully from the states, etc. So it's not something that is foreign. It's not something that can be done.
Yeah.
But the reality is, as long as you are pegged to someone else, you are always going to be successful to whatever bad things and good things happen to them, they're always going to come back to you. So the best thing is always to be able to stand on your own. That's why you have a country, a state, right? Otherwise, if you didn't want to be on your own, then you should not have been a country. So the aim should always be to unpeg. The only question is, how long will it take you to unpeg?
Okay, maybe we are too careful. Just last three. What is your advice, especially to look at the policy statement? Some people, they look at this and they know those are national level things, that is just the Bank of Namibia communicating, or maybe just CEOs of corporates or CEO of insurance companies that should listen, and the banks. But for an ordinary person, what is your advice, especially looking at this economy, and also where do we have to put our hope? And maybe just to last three is also the aspect of how do we survive in this situation? Because we were aiming 6% economic growth to reach NDP 6 targets, but there are a lot of challenges on the way. What is your advice in this situation? Either it's an ordinary person, either it's a business person, or a public official.
I honestly believe that every human being has power, every human being has purpose, and there's a reason why you were born in Namibia. This specific time, you are here for some sort of reason, right? And that's what we should teach our children as well, is that they are not just born for the sake of being born. They are born to come and contribute and do something. We underestimate that power. Right. You have to remember that the people that are up there, maybe CEOs of insurance companies, whatever, they are just managing the collection of all our actions. If us at the individual case, if we can just start getting institutions to be more accountable, like you who get your survey from your town council, you get to ask those real questions that they need to answer. Right. Do your part. If there is a part where meetings have to be done so that we can all collectively come up with ideas to create laws and whatever, participate. If you as a business owner are creating a business that is honorable and doing the right thing and providing good service with the time that's required to do it, if you are educating the next person and just doing your part, if enough of us do that, then the president or whoever is running the whole system has a better job to do, has something to work with. So I would say that's the biggest thing. Let's figure out who we are at a personal capacity. Let's figure out our purpose. Let's figure out what we are supposed to be doing for Namibia and for ourselves, because if Namibia grows, then we benefit.
Indeed.
Yes,
Ms. Ipinge, thank you for joining us, and thank you for that valuable input. And it's a very good thing that you also mentioned, to say, no, it's always good to know our path and also be positive about the future, regardless of what is happening.
I'm telling you, you can be in the most dire economic situation.
Yeah.
But if you are positive where you are, and you have to remember the market, the general market can be not positive, but your market in your community, you selling the tomatoes to your community can thrive while the general Namibian market is not thriving.
Indeed. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, that is Ms. Loise Anita Shivuthi Ipinge, the financial analyst, was interpreting
the monetary policy statement to say we all have a role to play. We all have a role to play looking at the aspect of being positive and also the aspect of taking accountability. When Standing Committee on Public Account come to your town, do not run away. You must face them so that at some point you also learn, because this is our country and we need to learn from each other and also to see what is the weakness in the system and what can we do to upgrade the general public. So we are coming back shortly to track progress and looking at what needs to be done, especially looking at tracking of developmental projects in Namibia. What is the challenge of developmental projects, and also how can we reach where we want to get into, particularly by 2030. Stay tuned, we are coming back shortly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with the Radar News Bulletin. As I indicated today, we'll be joined by Linekela Hamtumwa, who is a project management practitioner, to look at the aspect of tracking of developmental projects. What are some of the challenges? What can be done? And also, what are we doing well too? As we are only 3 years and 4 months before we reach 2030. Linekela, good afternoon, and thank you for joining us on the Radar News Bulletin.
Good afternoon, David. Thank you very much for having me.
Let's begin with it. Looking at where you are standing
in the field of project management. What is the best way to successfully complete a project efficiently and effectively? I'm asking this question because I look at what we have said, what we have planned, what we have invested in, especially as a country. What is the best way to complete those projects in a given time for them not to become what is called the white elephant, or maybe white giraffe if there is white elephant projects? What is your take on that?
Okay. So yeah, to the listeners out there, like yeah. David explained, yeah. I am a project management practitioner with over 8 years experience in this field.
Yeah.
So, but at this point, I'll be talking from just individual perspective.
Yeah.
The best way to successfully complete a project, you know, looking at the environment that we are working in, is to not look at projects in isolation. We need to be very clear with the objectives and planning, you know, understanding what the project is trying to achieve from the onset.
Mm.
What are the expected outputs, the timelines, the budgets? You also need to have a strong project governance. Who's making the decision? Who is the contractor reporting to? The accountability structures, the types of communication channels that you have.
Mm.
Are you meeting once a week? Are you meeting once a month? Are you meeting quarterly?
Mm.
And those need to be, you need to meet them because you need to understand how the project is progressing. What are the risks that the project is facing in the time? And you also need to have a component of regular reporting.
Mm-hmm.
If the project that doesn't start and then it ends, and that's when you have a project report, there needs to be continuous reporting and monitoring throughout the project.
Mm-hmm. Yes, just to look at the general perspective, particularly looking at the developmental project, there are key several projects that the nation is undertaking. And one of them is, allocation of money to renew, you know, our football stadiums, making sure that young people are taken out of the street, and also to look at what we need to do. There are various projects such as including utilization of underground water, for example, but you only hear this at the initial, at the allocation of funds. But when you look at the time that is passing, it's not in line with what is expected, because we have a dream to achieve by 2030. From where you are standing as a practitioner, what could be the reason for either lack of progress or, you know, slow progress in terms of achieving those projects?
It could be a number of factors.
Yeah,
The projects generally face different things at any given time. But the one thing that really comes to mind this question is the planning and preparation of the project. Understanding that the project just doesn't start at the procurement stage and then you hand it over to the successful bidder. The project starts way beforehand, and it's sometimes meeting components that a feasibility assessment needs to be done before, you know, to assess what is actually required before you put it out on tender. Because then you are meeting the expectations and the value that you want to drive. Now you get to a point where the tender is out, the successful bidder is awarded, and then you get to the budget that was allocated is not fit for purpose of the project and the magnitude. Coming back then, obviously, if you are using the football stadiums, you know, we don't just want to attract regional participation of sports events. You also want to attract, like, international games, you know? Any Namibian would want the AFCON to be, to play on Namibian soil. But that also needs like, that you need to meet international and regional regulations, where all those things factored in the budget, in the planning, you know, before you actually get to we are constructing football stadiums. And the other social aspect that you also indicated, that, you know, you want to develop people from grassroots levels. How does that look like in terms of
of the project and the planning. It's not just about the build and construction.
Mm.
You need to look at the multitude of what you actually want to achieve, knowing that the facilities and the project that you are implementing are fit for purpose,
mm.
but then they also meet the standards that you want to put out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now looking at that, it's a very good thing that you brought about various components that need to be understood and also regulations that need to be adhered to. Now, from where I'm standing, I have a question to say, is there maybe a gap between the policy makers or between those who are in charge of driving the environmental agenda, let's say public officials or the government, and also the project's managers or those who got those opportunities? Is there maybe a gap in terms of communication or maybe in terms of understanding? And what is that that need to be done to smoothen that? You know, I'm asking this question because if you have something that you have planned to do, then it takes, let me say, 2 years in other countries to be completed. Now we are on the 9th year, for example. I'm just giving an example of a stadium. We have a lot of other things. Maybe is it a gap in terms of communication? Is it the understanding? Is it the skills? Because the money is there. The people are there. Why is that the case?
I believe stakeholder engagement
mm-hmm.
is a critical component in the successful delivery of any project.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the stakeholders that are working or tend to benefit in the project, but it's the finance person is as important as the administration person. But mm-hmm. they also need to understand every single component of the project.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes the information is not spread across the various communication channels. I could mm-hmm. give an example. The project is supposed to be delivered in a region, but the decisions are being made at, you know, head office. So the decentralization of authority and communication and where the project is supposed to be sometimes can hinder the project from actually...
Oh, just hold on, eh? Just on the line.
Do you need toiletries and household cleaners? You won't get it cheaper than a U-Save up to the 7th of June. Get 250 mm jars of Vaseline for only $25. Smell fresh with Playboy roll-on deodorant for just $18.99. Get 2 kilograms of Surf's hand washing powder for just $49.99. Get 750 mL Sunlight dishwashing liquid for $28.99, and get 2 boxes of Cares Maxi sanitary pads for only $12.99. You say, where else?
My friend, why do you?
Yeah, we are continuing with the Reda News Bulletin. I'm in communication with Linekela Hamtuma, and we were speaking about stakeholders and communication, especially in project management. Linekela, you can continue.
Yes. So as I was saying, that stakeholder engagement and management being a very critical aspect in the successful delivery of projects and the decentralization of information. So yeah, just to answer your question, I think the one aspect that as a country we do face, I think it's the effectiveness of stakeholder management across the project. And sometimes it's not even just that we need to look at delivering projects as a development agenda and not just a tick box item that now we have. Now we have stadiums, now we have roads, now, but when you're looking at it, you know, from a development aspect, what does that mean for the country and its citizens?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, now let us look at the last part, especially when it comes to M&E. There has been a lot of communication, and I think the last time we also spoke about this. Is it that we do not understand what monitoring and evaluation is, or we just monitor and we do not evaluate? And what is the necessity of that, either in terms of the skill within the project or monitoring and evaluation as a profession?
Yes, Monitoring and evaluation, it can be a profession on its own.
Yeah.
I think at the moment, or how I've seen and it being perceived, it's just an umbrella field in managing projects, but not as a critical item. I mean, the aspect of monitoring and evaluation is supposed to show if the project is actually achieving its intended result.
Yeah.
Now, with that, it comes back to the component of reporting, tracking, assessment, you know, an early intervention to say if the project is going according to plan, is the project going according to budget, is the project facing skill shortages. Those are all aspects of monitoring and evaluation. So when you're looking at it from a component of that, we had something that was set out from the beginning. We had key measurable targets, and this is our intended purposes. Now, just also then comes back to, as Namibians, I don't think we are actively using technology to strengthen monitoring and evaluation capacities. And that will obviously assist in the manner, because everyone has a template on how to do monitoring and evaluation.
Yeah.
But if there was a succinct manner in which we do it, that would definitely improve the monitoring and tracking of projects at the national level even.
Yes, it's a good thing that you brought about that aspect, particularly as a profession and also as an ablera within that. Now, let us look at public finance and accountability, and also the necessity of scale of project management. I've been watching what is happening around, especially regarding Parliamentary Standing Committee on Public Accounts, moving around various town councils and also regional council, looking at the financial statement, all this. Now, and you also see that there are also those officials who at some point are given money to complete certain projects, let me say upgrading the informal sector. But in terms of financing, in terms of accounting, there is a bit of a gap. Some people, they run away from accountability. Some of they are putting on sick leave when Parliament is coming to oversee. And there's a lot of things that are happening. Now, in terms of project management skills, how do you integrate that, especially looking at financial accountability and also reporting from a constituency until the national level?
In project management, every person that is involved in the project has a role, and it brings about the aspect of structure and accountability. You need to be accountable for the tasks and responsibilities that you are given. And through that, there's a communication channel that X person reports to X person, and then there's a trickling effect. I guess you see a ladder. One reports to the other, and then to the point where, in this case, having your public accounts ready, you know, for presentation, etc. Across the entire value chain, there's a big component of accountability. Now, every person needs to know the role that they have given in order to produce that work. Now, it comes back that when you are integrating project management and financial management, you're planned against what is actual. So you know, we only planned to spend $10, but the project ended up costing $15. Why? It's also asking the necessary question. Why did we spend so much? Who approved the extra $5? Was the contingency for the extra $5? Where did we get the extra $5? You see, then it comes back, you're asking the necessary questions. You will have the necessary people to report on and to be accountable for those measures, as opposed to the nature. Things just happen. It's just the nature of projects. It's just, you know. Now, then it comes back again where you are building capacity within the grassroots level, the councils, all the way to head office, that in our reporting measures, they found financial accountability and service delivery of what it is we were tasked to do.
Yeah,
Rinekera, just last three. Project management, the necessity of it, especially when we are looking at the key skills. When I look at the World Economic Forum, they say project management, financial literacy, and AI and all these things that are needed. Now, to an ordinary person, let me say I'm a student of law, for example. I'm studying just international relations, or I'm studying agriculture, and I look at project management, I think maybe it's just for engineers. But just your last advice to students, especially those who are interested in project management, what is the necessity of project management to other professionals?
Looking at it, project management is a key skill to have. Mm. It really equips you in the aspect of monitoring timelines, budgets, teams across various sectors and in different times. You learn how to balance a lot of things at the same time. So it's a necessary skill to have. And just obviously the aspect of accountability and responsibility for the manner that you've been given those tasks. And then the aspect of project management is that whatever it is you are doing, you need to create value.
Yes, Rinekera, thank you very much for joining us, and thank you for that valuable input.
Thank you very much, David, for having me.
All right.
And thank you to the listeners out there.
All right. Yeah, that is Rinekera Hamtumwa, project management practitioner. Give us context to say project management does not only start at procurement, but it started at the initial idea, and also the importance of clear, understandable communication, and also having stakeholders' engagement that understand what is the progress, what are the challenges, and what need to be done. So let's come back shortly, especially to look at international foreign exchange in relation to the Namibian dollar. Then you also look a little bit on what is happening in Zambia, especially today is a D-Day. Who is going to take the highest seat on the land of Zambia in terms of general elections?
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngeleo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko derewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu omafelane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle staff. FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngelo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko mderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
It's 58 minutes past the hour of one, and looking at the international foreign currency unit, per Namibian dollar, is it that the euro is standing at 19.17 Namibian dollars, pound sterling at 22.43 Namibian dollars, US dollar is at 16.62 Namibian dollars. Looking at foreign currency unit, per Namibian dollar, Kwanza. Standing at 13.27 Namibian dollars. Australian dollar 0.84. Botswana and Pula 0.71. Canadian dollar 0.08. And yeah, looking at what is happening in the SADC region today, it's a D-Day, selection day in Zambia, especially to look at who is going to be the president of Zambia when the term of H.H. Hakainde Hichilema came to an end, and today the Zambians are deciding on the polls. Let's look at this and come back shortly.
14 candidates are throwing their hats in the ring to become Zambia's next president in the upcoming election. Among them is main opposition challenger Brian Mundubile, seeking to defeat President Hakainde Hichilema. He says his party campaign has been hampered.
To this end, it's a process. We've not been able to campaign freely. We were stopped permits, landing rights and permits to fly, when our opponent, President Hakainde Hichilema, had 3 helicopters. He could fly and have 6 rallies a day. We were only allowed to do our campaigns by road. I've had no passport for the past 4 months. I've had no phones. My phones were confiscated with numbers and, seized 4 months ago.
A former lawyer, Mundubile, emerged as the country's main opposition leader after anti-government parties came together to rally around him. He also alleges police interference during the campaign period.
Father, we believe the blood of Jesus. Yeah, so the way we would want to look at this particular election, let's not look at what will happen tomorrow or what has happened between today and tomorrow. Okay, throughout the campaign period, we've been unable to campaign. I'm sure you've watched the pictures, you've seen the videos. We've had police interference at every stage. We've had violence from the UPND, and yet ECZ has not been able to act and suspend the campaigns of the UPND.
Hichilema won the presidency in...
Yeah, that is what is happening, especially to look at Zambia. So, dear listeners, that brings us to the end of our On the Radar News Bulletin. I'll leave you in the good hands of Peniambeko Jonas and Andreas Erastus from Mandangwa with Etemoletu. From me, David Shombe, bye-bye, and see you around.